Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Bernard says, good morning. Do you perhaps think that all the hype around the 30th could just be a distraction or cover-up? Why advertise demonstration months in advance and then have the popular media bombard us with speculative commentary? Something seems off. And maybe. Rene says, forgive me, what is happening in South Africa tomorrow? There are reportedly, a series of protests that are taking place around foreigners being in South Africa. It's a very, very strange situation of all things. That's what South Africans are marching for. I find it very, very odd and maybe a little bit, as Bernard says, of a distraction. But of course, the concern is xenophobia, because there are real people who are absolutely afraid, who are petrified, who perhaps have been trying for ages to get permission to work in South Africa, who might even have all the documentation, but it unfortunately doesn't protect them from being targeted. And it is a very, very real concern and a real worry, certainly for me, and should be, I think, for everybody. Alana Baranov, South Africa Jewish Board of Deputies Representative and Steering Committee member of the Hate Crimes Working Group, joins us this morning. Alana, a very, very good morning. Thank you for joining us. Can you just give us, from your perspective, an overview as to what is supposedly meant to be happening tomorrow, what the concerns are, and perhaps some perspective of it?
Good morning, Howard, and thank you so much for having me on your show. So through my position as the country director of HIAS South Africa, which is the Jewish International Refugee Agency that operates around the world but has been in South Africa since October 2023, and of course, my work with the South African Jewish Board of Deputies, this is something that activists on the ground have been concerned about for some time now. We know that South Africa has a underbelly of xenophobia and Afrophobia that rears its head every few months, every few years. Unfortunately, it's very much linked to election cycles, and we know we have local elections coming up in November this year. But for the past few months, we've seen the rise of vigilante groups such as March for March and Operation Dadula, which is, of course, very well known, utilizing social media to organize protests, to mobilize people, and to really create a lot of fear and division in communities around the issue of foreign nationals and immigration. And these groups, mostly March for March, have put forward a deadline in which they want all foreign nationals in South Africa to be out of the country. But I implore the listeners to understand that this deadline has no legal basis. This is something that's been created by these anti-immigrant groups. Nevertheless, there is so much fear. We've seen TikTok accounts that have been created that pump out thousands of videos a day about anti-foreigner sentiment, rallying people for the 30th. And we've seen a big increase in protests. So HIAS South Africa, our national office is based in Durban, and I'm based here in KZN. And our province, as in the past, is the epicenter of the crisis. And really we're seeing thousands of people displaced already, people very fearful about what is going to transpire tomorrow. So that's really where we are, Howard.
Do we have a sense of the actual people behind this? Because obviously what happened a couple of years ago was all of this sort of subterfuge, and then only once things had calmed down did we get a sense of who the instigators were.
So it's interesting. There's a lot of discussion within civil society about how this campaign is being funded and who exactly is running it, because these vigilante groups have a masterful way that they use social media. And as I said, you know, the TikTok accounts, X, the WhatsApp groups, they really know how to be very convincing and also to target the youth who are very open to being swept up in these sorts of movements, because there is so much frustration in our country, Howard. There is so many problems with our healthcare system, our education system.
And so employment. I mean, so many of our youth are not employed. And of course, when people aren't employed and they're told that the reason that they're not employed and that the reason that they're suffering is because foreigners have taken all the jobs, they look to the wrong place rather than looking to government and saying, you know, there's so much corruption, there's so much that you could do to improve the our economic situation. So it's unfortunately a very, very tried and tested diversion tactic, which makes me very concerned.
Exactly. And it's also amazing to see when you look at the actual facts and figures around foreign nationals in our country, how many of them use the government hospitals, how many are in the government school system. It's a fraction of the numbers. There's no way that they could be blamed for the incredible failure that we're seeing in those systems. But we know as Jews how effective scapegoating is, and this very vulnerable community is being blamed for the of South Africa and for the failures of the government, quite frankly. And it's very effective. So we know some very high-profile leaders. So, for example, there's Jacinta Ngobezi Zuma, who is the face and spokesperson of March for March. She is incredibly popular here in KZN, and she hosts press conferences. She's really been one of the main spokespeople for this recent wave of anti-immigrant sentiment. But something that also concerns those of us who have worked in this area for many years is that what's different about the time now is that we're seeing government leaders and local mayors, for example, getting involved with March for March, endorsing the actions, and being involved in some of these marches. And actually, civil society got a court order against the mayor of Escort here in KZN, who has taken a very active role in promoting, running out foreigners from his town, endorsing March for March. So we're seeing a conflation with the vigilante groups, and sadly, some of the political party leaders and government leaders really endorsing it and pushing it.
It's really, really frightening. From what you're seeing, you've mentioned that the epicenter is primarily KZN. Do you think that what we'll see tomorrow is mainly in that area, will spill over to others, or do you suspect that this is going to be a countrywide phenomenon?
So I do think that the majority of the incidences and the protest action is going to be in KZN, sadly. We know that there are definitely going to be hotspots in Gauteng, because we have seen that the last few months with a rise in incidences, and there are a lot of planned actions in certain parts of Gauteng tomorrow. And then the Western Cape, which had been relatively quiet up until now. On the weekend, I got reports of a group of 300-400 Zimbabweans who, out of incredible fear for what is happening this week, went to the Zimbabwe consulate and asked to be repatriated or taken back home. And they have since been sleeping outside the consulate, and then they've been moved to an area outside of Epping. So we're seeing a lot of this. People incredibly scared for what is going to happen. There's a lack of trust that they're going to be protected by the authorities, by the police. And many people in the foreign national community are trying desperate means to actually get out of the country by tomorrow because they're so scared. So I think we'll see it around the country, sadly, Howard. But I know that there will be a lot happening here in KZN.
What concerns me even more so is, and this is, of course, completely anecdotal, but when I speak to people that I know who might know foreign workers, the stories that they tell are all pretty much the same stories, where they speak about people being arrested, but and that being used as an opportunity to extort payment from them, from the police or people looking like they police. Mm-hmm. That to me is surely is fueling this in a greater way, because there's almost this economy that is happening beneath the surface that also is providing income to nefarious groups.
Absolutely. It really is heartbreaking. I mean, we've known for years that foreign nationals in this country are victims of extortion in trying to get refugee papers and asylum seeker papers. The system is broken, and it is virtually impossible for people to get papers and to be legal. It's all well and good to crack down on people not having documentation, but our system doesn't allow them to. What we're also seeing this time around is that March for March, Operation Dudula, are targeting everyone. Whether you have papers or you don't, your shop is being burned down. Your goods in your home are being confiscated. You're being pushed out of the CBD from your job. So they're really not discriminating. And yes, Howard, I've heard of scores of stories, particularly with this kind of exodus, really, of people trying to get out of the country, with there being roadblocks at the border and corrupt border officials asking for massive bribes to let people out. Transport companies that are running the buses that are taking some of the Malawian and Zimbabwean community out, hiking up their prices like 300%, because they know people are in this position where they're really fearing for their lives and they're trying anything to get home. And so people are able to exploit that. It really is shameful.
It really, really is. Garen, one of our listeners saying, please, can you ask your guest? I'm quite reluctant to ask her this question. I'm going to ask it, but I'm going to, I don't think it's a question that is fair to really ask. Howard, please can you ask your guest the following. My son is in KZN at the moment. He's due to drive home on Wednesday. Is this a good idea?
Oh, Howard, you're right. It is so difficult to know what is going to happen tomorrow. Some people that work in the refugee sector are very concerned that we're going to see scenes from like 2008, 2015. Others are saying, because there has now been such a spotlight on this, that the police and the government are going to crack down. All I would say is, particularly for our Jewish community members, is to consult the communications that have been put out by CSO. They have been working with government and police authorities. They are very au fait with the latest information that is coming out. So I would definitely check with the CSO in Johannesburg, KZN, and Cape Town to find out. And they can give you more specific information about the route that you need to take. But I know that they have asked members of our community not to panic, because they don't foresee this spilling over and affecting our community, but for people to have common sense and to maybe, you know, make sure that you've got, particularly in KZN, they've said if you can fill up your car, if you can have, you know, chronic medication stocked up, that's always a good thing, because we never know with protests if transport lines are blocked. So I would advise to do that.
Yeah. So, Garen, just to extend that, is, as I mentioned earlier, we'll be chatting with the CSO and updating throughout the day. Tomorrow, even today, if necessary, at this stage, there isn't anything that that we need to. And let's see how the day goes. If they're due to drive back on Wednesday, you'll definitely get a sense of what is happening. We will certainly ask that question, because I think there are quite a lot of people, especially this time of year, looking, who are driving down to the region, driving back from the region. So certainly that is a question that we will keep asking the CSO. So, and obviously keep everybody informed. That is where we do need to leave it. Alana Baranov, just keep doing the critical work that you are doing. And thank you for chatting to us. Alana Baranov, South African Jewish Board of Deputies representative at the Steering Committee, member of Hate Crime Working Group.